This will be a little bit of a review of Sunday. Some of you aren't here. For those that are here, it may be in a little bit more orderly flow. Let's hope so. Living in the kingdom of God, here and now. Remember, we're to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And when Jesus announced that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, He's not talking about heaven. He's talking about the reign of God here on the earth has come. A spiritual kingdom has come on the earth. And we are to seek this spiritual kingdom and the righteousness it produces now. So, what is the kingdom of God? Let's define it this way. It is the region where the will of God is accomplished by the power of God. It's any area where His will is done by His own power. It's His kingdom at work, His dominion at work. So when Jesus announced that the kingdom of heaven has arrived, He was proclaiming God's power is here to accomplish God's will. And He was here to do that. Now, what is God's will? We know that God desires for men to be saved. So the kingdom of God came so that men could be saved from sin. We know that God desires for men to know the truth. The kingdom of God came so that the truth could be proclaimed, so that men could believe the truth and be saved. We know that God desires for men to believe in Him. So the kingdom of God came in demonstration with power and might, so that men could recognize the Father in the Son, Jesus Christ, and believe. And we also know that God desires for men to be righteous in conduct and in character. And the kingdom of God is something we are to seek to live in this spiritual kingdom now, and to seek for the righteousness that God desires. So we, just in summary again, the kingdom of heaven is the sphere where God's power works to accomplish God's will. The kingdom arrived when Jesus came because He was anointed with power to establish that kingdom here on earth. Now we know that in the future there is a culmination where there will be a new heaven and a new earth. But let's not forget that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is here now. And it's to be entered now. We're to live in this kingdom now. That's what I'm trying to get us to understand. And Paul gave us this definition of the kingdom of God in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Yes. So this should let us know it is a spiritual kingdom. We must be in the Holy Spirit to experience the kingdom. And those who are in the Holy Spirit will experience righteousness, peace, and joy. This is the kingdom of God here on earth. So when we are seeking first, as Jesus told us to, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that equals living in the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. So does it give you a clearer picture of what it means to seek first the kingdom of God? In another word, they're saying, seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Seek to be led by the Holy Spirit. Seek to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, because living in the Holy Spirit is living in the kingdom of God here on the earth. The Spirit is the life of God here, bringing us communion and fellowship with Christ in the kingdom. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. And He's given to to the believer to guide us into all truth. All the truths about our Heavenly Father, all the truths about the Lord Jesus, all the truths about righteousness. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the personal teacher for the believer. Each of you, if you are a believer in Christ, the Spirit of Christ is in you. And the Holy Spirit in you can teach you about all things. Now, let me explain this in a way that I want you to be able to grasp this. The scriptures are true. They're true. They are the word of truth. But the Holy Spirit can give you understanding of the scriptures. He can guide you into being able to understand what the truths are. The truth is there in the Bible. But the Holy Spirit can explain it to you. Not only explain what it means, when you read a truth, when you read a truth that you are to put off the old man and put on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit can walk with you and guide you and explain to you how you are to do that. The Holy Spirit can help you learn how to forgive others. The Holy Spirit can, you know, the truth is you're supposed to forgive others. The Holy Spirit can come alongside and actually guide you and show you how to walk in these things. We know that we're supposed to have self-control. We know that we're supposed to watch what we say. These are truths we see in the Scripture. The Holy Spirit can guide us into a greater understanding of actually how we do these truths. So He's constantly there to bring us greater understanding of the truth. We have the truth in the Scripture, but the Spirit will guide us into a full understanding and comprehension of that truth. The Holy Spirit is also the power of the life of God. We know that if you've read the book of Romans, if you've read the book of Galatians, and if you've read most of the New Testament, you're going to understand that the law explained the righteousness of God, but it didn't give power. It takes the very power of God Himself to enable us to do the will of God. So what Jesus told His disciples, that they were to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power. So when the believer receives the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit gives an ability that you do not have in your natural self. It's not enough for us to say, well, we're just weak and we can't do it on our own. That's only part of the truth. The Holy Spirit resides in the believer to enable us to do the will of God, to strengthen us. Like Jesus told Paul, my power is made perfect in your weakness. So the Holy Spirit brings two wonderful aspects of our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus to us. He brings the willingness. Remember what Jesus said, the Spirit is willing. So, you know, sometimes we wouldn't have the desire to do what's right on our own. We may prefer to hold a grudge or to become bitter or to have a pity party. But the Holy Spirit will produce in us the right desire and actually inspire us to do what is pleasing to God. So the willingness to serve the Lord, the willingness to endure difficulty, the willingness to obey is produced by the Holy Spirit living in our lives. And so not only the ability or power to do it, the Holy Spirit actually inspires us and helps create the will to do it. And that fulfills that scripture that where Paul said that God is the one working in us both to will and to do in behalf of His good pleasure. And the Holy Spirit is the one bringing this life of God and producing in us both the willingness and the ability to do what is pleasing to God. Because the Holy Spirit is the life and power of the living God living in us. So for us, God is not, and I want you to picture this, many of us have thought in the past, some of us may think now, that God is somewhere way out there in space, way beyond, because way out there, God is another dimension. God is everywhere. God is here. He's in a dimension you cannot see. He is near you. He is spirit. So he's not out there. God is near you. He's in spirit. He's invisible to us. So don't think he's way out there and you're sending your prayers out by a spaceship and they're traveling way out there and they'll find it. No. Your Father is near you. He is not. He's always with you. It is a spiritual dimension that we just don't always enter. Now, Jesus spoke of this when he said, what if you see heaven open? Remember when heaven was open when he was baptized? Yeah. Suddenly, the dimension, the invisible dimension was open, and those there at the baptism saw heaven open and the Holy Spirit descending in the form of a dove, and they heard God speaking from heaven, right there. Not way out from outer space. The other dimension stepped into this dimension and spoke. So we as a people, we are to be people who seek that second dimension. We seek the spiritual life. We seek to serve the invisible God. We live as if he is with us and near us, that his eyes are upon us, that his power is available for us, that his we commune with him in his spirit. There is more for us in the future, but our Father is with us now.
Amen.
In the Holy Spirit.
Brother.
Yes.
God is also in the dimension of time.
He is. Even though he's above time,
yes.
He certainly is.
Yes.
Yes, Priscilla.
Just so I'm trying to get it clear. So God's right here, but Holy Spirit's like in here.
There's just another dimension. It's hard to describe an invisible dimension because God's presence is everywhere. God, there's nowhere where God is not. David said, if I go to the depths of the sea, you're there. If I go to the heights, you're there. There's nowhere I can go that you are not there. But the Holy Spirit is in our spirit. That's something that comes literally a part of us. Because God is spirit, and for there to be a connection, the Holy Spirit is that connection between the Father and us. It's like electricity needs the proper material to be conducted, to transfer from one place to another. The Holy Spirit is the transfer of God's life and communication with us from the one dimension to our dimension where we live. Yes.
God is one essence, but it manifests himself as a Father, as a Son, and as the Holy Spirit. It's just like water. Water has three manifestations. Water can be ice, water can be liquid, and water can be steam.
I guess.
Three manifestations.
Right. We'll go into this a little bit later in depth, but I don't want to lose the momentum of this point. This is the real, there's two dimensions that the New Testament speaks of.
Yes.
The dimension of spirit.
Yes.
And the dimension of flesh.
Yes.
These are the two that we need to be aware of, because there's a great war between these dimensions.
Yes.
All right? Flesh and spirit. And in the world of the flesh, that the dimension of flesh, and that would include the entire world that lies under the power of the evil one, and the system that is built on flesh and organized around flesh. That system operates by the law of sin and death. Whereas the dimension of this kingdom of God operates by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. And this is something that we need to understand, because only those who are in Christ escape the dimension of the flesh.
Amen.
The flesh is a terrible place to live. If you want to understand the dimension of the flesh and its power, study Romans chapter 7, where Paul talks about the law of sin and death. Remember what Paul did? Paul gave an example of anyone who is trying to keep the law that is not in Christ, just in himself and in his flesh. He said he agreed with the law that it was good, but he didn't have the power to carry it out. He said that the things he wanted to do, he wasn't able to do. And the things that he didn't want to do, these are the things he kept doing. And it led him to a discovery. Wait a minute. If I'm doing what I don't want to do, and if I'm not doing what I do want to do, it's no longer I, but it's sin living in me. And then he discovered that there was a law in his members. This, like a spiritual virus at work. Sin at work in our members. And what does sin do? Sin produces every kind of desire, but the wrong kind of desires. The desires that have to do with this dimension, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, natural carnal desires. Desires themselves are not bad. The Holy Spirit produces holy desires, righteous desires, good desires. But sin produces corrupt desires.
Yes.
So it makes us a prisoner of choices that we keep corrupting ourselves by.
Right.
And Paul, everyone in the realm of the flesh comes to this conclusion. What a wretched man that I am. Because if I can't stop doing what I don't want to do, and if I can't do what I do want to do, because I'm a prisoner of sin. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Well, Paul gives the answer. At the end of Romans 7, Paul gives an answer. I give thanks to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because Jesus Christ our Lord brings us the power of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. And that when Paul says the answer is Jesus Christ, then he goes on to Romans chapter 8. And here's where chapter 8 begins. There is therefore now no condemnation for those in. They've transferred dimensions. They were in the realm of the flesh with sin making them a prisoner. Now they are in Christ. And they're not walking according to the flesh. They're not in that dimension right now. Now they're living according to the Spirit. Those in Christ stop walking according to the flesh and start living according to the Spirit as you grow up in Christ. Yeah, Rudy.
But the thing is, when a person makes a decision to come to Christ, the devil is going to increase the attacks.
He is.
That person.
And this is where the church has been negligent.
Yes.
The church has not explained to believers what's going on. For example, we so focus on forgiveness of sin, that your sins are forgiven, that a person feels wonderful. It feels wonderful to have your sins forgiven and to become a child of God. But when we don't explain to them that because you were a slave of sin, you need to learn to walk in the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to come to understand that there's a spiritual dimension that you need to grow up into. We've not trained them. And In fact, some Christians think you just got to live in Romans 7 your whole life. They just think Romans 7 is the description of the honest man and that everyone goes through Romans 7. I don't believe that's true at all.
No.
Romans 8 says you are not in the flesh. You're not there anymore if you are in Christ. You are in a... That doesn't mean you're not in the world. And it doesn't mean you're not tempted. Adam didn't have a sinful nature. He was still tempted. It doesn't mean you won't struggle. But you are no longer a prisoner. And now you have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus coming in. And here's what happens. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets me free from the law of sin and death. How? A greater law overcomes a lesser law.
Yes.
Remember how we talked about this on Sunday? If you take a basket with ropes and you tie it and make a hot air balloon, you can cause this balloon to rise simply by heating the air in the balloon.
Yes.
And as the molecules inside of the balloon and the heated air begin to swirl and move, a force begins to happen. The force of lift. The law of gravity is there. You don't cancel the law of gravity, but a greater power than gravity takes over, and the power of this new power raises the balloon up in the air. It's the same with the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. That doesn't cancel sin or temptation. The law of sin is there, but the greater power of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ overpowers the law of sin and death and enables us now to walk in the Holy Spirit and live as a citizen of the new dimension in the kingdom of heaven now, seeking first the kingdom of God and the righteousness that is found in the Holy Spirit. The whole kingdom of the world operates by the law of sin and death. And sin produces all kinds of desires in the flesh. Lust of all kinds. And it's these desires that are the driving force of the kingdom of the world. And they are what cause, these desires are what causes the corruption that is in the world. That's what Peter tells us in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. God, through His own glory and virtue, has given us His exceeding great and precious promises, so that by them you may partake of the divine nature. The divine nature is another way of saying partaking of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Christ is sharing His own power with us. His wisdom, His self-control, His understanding. That divine nature of Christ that we are made partakers of overcomes the corruption that is in the world. And we escape that world of corruption by participating in the divine nature with Christ. So through partaking of the divine nature, the power of the Spirit of Christ overpowers or overcomes the power of sin's lust. And that's why Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, if we walk by the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yes.
You see, you'll wrestle with them, the flesh lust against the Spirit against the flesh. But you do not have to fulfill. You can experience temptation. It may even cause you to wrestle with it. But remember, we have a promise from our Heavenly Father. We partake of the nature of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit to help us. And God has promised that no temptation has taken us, but such is common to man. And the Lord will not allow us to be tempted above what we are able. But along with the temptation, He provides a way of escape so that we may bear up under it. And if you bear up under temptation, he's meaning you don't yield to it. And if you have, if you've not yielded to temptation, you have not sinned. Can I encourage all of you? Sometimes you're too hard on yourself because you're in the world and there's a corruption that's in the world and you experience temptation. Thoughts that shouldn't be there or feelings that shouldn't be there. And it makes you feel dirty or something's not right. But just because you are wrestling with the temptation and you feel it and you're aware of it does not mean you have surrendered to it. There is a difference in dealing with temptation and going along with it and yielding to it. If you to be tempted, you have to be aware of a thought. You know, if I come home and something happens and Dina says something and a thought passes my mind, but something that I should not say, have I sinned because the thought passed in my mind?
No.
I'm aware of the thought. The words were there. If I yielded to the thoughts, it would sin. But I, instead of yielding to the thoughts, we're given power through the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. And we can take thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. And though the wrestling is not pleasant and there's a suffering involved in it, you've not sinned. Because we won't, one day, everyone, the good news is, one day, you won't even have to wrestle with sin. Because he's going to wipe it out.
Yeah.
One day, we won't have to struggle with it anymore. But not now. Right now, the two dimensions are in clash. We are in the dimension of the Spirit. The kingdom of heaven is here in spirit. But someday, Christ Jesus is going to separate everything that is evil and everything that causes men to stumble. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth where there's no sorrow, no mourning, no pain, because there is no sin. There's no suffering. There's no wrong. And that's our hope. So we just have to endure to the end. Now, and even in our endurance, even though it's not pleasant, it's a win-win for us. It's not permanent. It's only temporary, even if it's years of temporary. And our Father promises, even in the suffering, He works together for good. So He makes the wrestling beneficial. And you know, one of the things that is the way God has designed for us to learn is by comparison and contrast. You know, if you wondered, why would God allow evil? He's good. Why did He even allow it? Okay. If there's only goodness and no evil, how would you appreciate goodness? What if there was, if everything was only sweet and there was nothing sour or salty? It's bland. Everything would taste the same. The fact that there is a contrast, that there is a difference. Hot has a meaning because it's in comparison to cold. Easy has a value because there's a comparison to hard. The goodness of God could not fully be worshipped or appreciated without the presence of evil. So the Lord allows us to struggle. He allows this world to go through what it does so that day when we step into the new heaven and the new earth, will we fully appreciate the difference?
Amen.
Oh, yes, we will. Oh, yes, we will. Many of us that are dealing with these corruptible bodies are looking forward to appreciating a new perfect body without corruption. And this is the way our Father works. But currently, the two dimensions of flesh and spirit that we have in the world will involve a battle. And it's going to take us growing in strength and growing in understanding. But the truth is, if we walk by the Spirit, we don't have to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And this is the kingdom we're to seek. The spiritual dimension of the kingdom of heaven here on the earth. We're to seek that. We're to seek to live in the Holy Spirit, be led by the Holy Spirit, worship in spirit in truth, pray in the Spirit, and even by the Spirit, begin to put to death the practices of the body by the power of the Spirit. What do you think Paul means by the practices of the body? Let's think a little bit. When we get upset or angry, what do we genuinely tend to do? We talk, or right. We open our mouth and something ugly or hurtful comes out. That's a practice. We practice that. We spent time as sinners doing that. Or you kick something, or you hit the wall, or you throw a tantrum, whatever it is. The Holy Spirit will come when you're tempted to anger, and He will help you put that old practice to death. He will help you hold your tongue. He will help you stop clenching your fist. Mm-hmm. He'll help you stop slamming doors. Mm-hmm. Or He'll help you. He will help you stop treating other persons like they're the problem. Yes, they're difficult, but what did that person need? They need prayer. They need to be shown the mercy of God. He will teach you another whole way to respond to life. The old practices that you practice as a sinner will be put to death, and He will actually teach you how to live the way Jesus would have done. This is how Jesus would have responded. And like Paul said, we are to mortify our members upon the earth. And this is something that I'm going to ask you to bear with me, because I believe that we have not made very much progress in this. And just please hear me out in this. I believe television is a member on the earth. I just ask you to think about it. It's a member upon the earth. It's produced by the earth, by the people of the earth. By and large, most of the shows are pagan produced. They're pagan produced. And your enjoyment of them is a member. It's an attachment to the earth. And it's robbing you of time of fellowship and prayer with other people. You know, we lived many years without television in our home. And you know what we did instead of watching television? We had people over. We shared meals. We had family time and altar times and study times. And we went out. And I just believe that we have been drawn into a kickback and ease where we are indulging in the world. And I'm not going to call that sinful. What I think it's a major distraction. Yes, Brother Geary.
Yeah, it brings to my mind that it's a spirit of entertainment.
Yeah.
We are so hooked on being entertained that even in some church circles, they no longer want to call the platform a platform. They want to call it a stage, and people come to be entertained.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not against advanced technology, but I think you need a real discerning spirit.
Right. Now, I use the media. We have a smart TV at our home. We have the internet. But now my wife and I, we search for something edifying, a teaching, a Bible teaching, a seminar. There's wonderful things out there. I'm not saying that what you need to do is, you know, take a sledgehammer to your television. What I'm asking you to do is think, this activity, what is it tying me to? What is it drawing me to? Remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3? He said, I say again now, even with tears, what I told you before, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their God is their belly. Their glory is their shame. And do you remember the third thing he said? What was the third thing? Their mind is on earthly things, Not evil things, earthly things. And that's what I became convicted of as your pastor. I became convicted that my mind was on earthly things and that I should be spending that time in prayer for you, in time with my Heavenly Father, in time with the Scripture, in time with my wife. And I have found much more beneficial things to do than sit in front of the television and be entertained.
Amen.
And I'm just saying it's something that I believe we can recover and at least test it. You know, you don't have to overreact. And I certainly don't want you to do anything just because I'm saying it. But at least test it and see. What, you know, who's behind this?
They have the Christmas station.
They do. Right. They do. They do. Remember this, remember with the two dimensions? We've talked about, remember, the dimension of the world is organized around the flesh. Right? The whole world, the system, it operates by desire. And okay, so now can you see why in 1 John he said, do not love the world? Because the world operates on the basis of the flesh. The fleshly dimension. Don't love the world or the things of the world, because if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's one dimension. The Father's dimension is pure and righteous and holy. He grieves over the corruption in the world. And so the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, that comes from the citizens of this corrupt world. And if we're drawn to that, if we love that, John says that the love of the Father is not in us. Those are so polar opposite. God, and we just need to learn to test all things and hold fast that which is good. And I just want to encourage you to do so. In that world system, those that live under the flesh are controlled by the law of sin and death. They are not in Christ. So they are under condemnation because they're not in Christ. And the Bible says that no one who lives according to the flesh, he doesn't have the ability to please God. He's a slave of desire. He's a slave of sin. You cannot please God when you're living in the flesh. It's just not possible. Because sin is in control. The only way, and this is something that, again, I don't feel the church has done a good job of. We often make our message to the lost primarily focused on being forgiven of your sins, not being freed from the slavery that you're living in to sin. And if we understood that more ourselves, and if we really understood it takes the power of Christ to overcome the power of sin, then we would pursue, more of us would pursue being filled with the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. Like that song says, I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need the joy of the Lord. When I am full of the joy of the Lord, I don't need entertainment. Listen, communion with the Father is possible in the hours. Hours of prayer. Hours. Not minutes. Not a devotion time. Hours. I've been driving back and forth to Beaumont 5 hours at a time. And I can commune with the Father and pray and just meditate and worship and give thanks. There's many things you can do in that time with the Father. And it is just as wonderful as listening to the radio. We can learn to live this life that we're describing is in the other dimension, in the kingdom of God that we're to seek. It's spiritual. So it's not going to be external. Much of what the world does and offers us is external stimulation. Sound through the ears, vision through the eyes, activities that stimulate and circulate and get everyone worked up. What I'm talking about is spirit life that originates from within. The presence of the Holy Spirit within us. That you can be, your body can be still and your mind can be at rest. And you can commune with the eternal God in spirit.
Amen.
And it's like a theater. It is like a beautiful room with Him. It's an invisible communion. It's hard to explain, but it's very possible. You had a question or comment, Curtis?
You know, if you're having a problem with some area of your life, give that over to God and watch and see how He changes it.
You know, one of the things that I don't know if it's just Western society in general, or if it's Americans, those who live in the United States, but we are a busy people. Some people do not know how to be still. You know, some people have the TV on in their house and they're not even watching it. They want noise. They don't like, they're uncomfortable if it's quiet. Are you like that? You know what? I love quiet. I'm just the opposite. I want it quiet. Turn off that noise. Turn it off. What do you have that on for? Dina has to ride with me in the car, so we never listen to the radio. I love her talking, though. You know, it's just, I love the time with her. It is a learning process to get your body still, to still and quiet your soul. To where your soul is quiet, your mind is stopped, and your spirit begins to commune with God.
I wonder if Sister Dina were always scolding you, if you would enjoy her conversation.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Well, she doesn't have to scold me too often. That's kind of bad. You know, if I treat her like a queen and she treats me like a king, that's the way it works. You know, the way it works. I married my best friend, and she still is my best friend.
I don't talk to Dolores too much because she starts, when we get home, do this, do that, do this.
Yeah.
That's why I turned the radio on.
This is I want all of you to know that even late in life, you can learn to live in prayer and meditation many more hours than you're doing now. Much more. I want to encourage you that you can. And believe me, when you do, here's what happens. You begin to become strong in spirit. Because the external stimulation is kind of keeping you on a soul level. It's keeping you connected and in the need of the stimulus from the outside. You can learn to wean yourself from that. And you can learn to experience a quietness of spirit where you enter into prayer. Let me give an example so that will help you. You know, the Bible says, with this in mind, it is in Ephesians chapter 6, talking about living and putting on the full armor of God. And at the end of that it says, and having done everything to stand. And pray in the Holy Spirit. And it says, with on all occasions. And it says, for all the saints. Have you ever thought about that? How do you pray for all the saints? You just say that? Well, Lord, I pray for all the saints. Take a check. No, I want to know, what does that mean? You know what it means for me? I go back in my beginning days as a Christian. And I begin to remember the people that were influencing me. And I begin to lift them up before the Lord, name at a time. It's like walk down memory lane. And I start there and I remember where I went from there. And I literally traveled the places I've been in my mind. And as I go there, I'm praying for the people I remember there. And I begin to lift them up. And it's incredible the names that come back to your mind. And the names of children and lifting them up to the Lord. And you begin to do this and you're just in prayer and you're just making mention of them to God. And time just goes. It's, you know, I've lived 30 something years in the Lord. It's nothing for time to just flow hours and just lifting people up. All of you are lifted up. You're here. You're the current season. Those that I know here, others that I know in San Antonio, mentioning and lifting them up before the Lord to God. What that time has done is that has replaced sitting in front of the television. I'd rather make mention of my friends and those special people in the Lord. So it's something we can grow in. I think if we're honest, our lives as American Christians are quite different than the lives we read in the book of Acts. They didn't have television and all these things. So, you know, it wasn't uncommon for them to pray regularly, to meet regularly. We just limit it to a couple of times a week. But they would meet often, sometimes daily. And so I want to encourage us in something. I know we have to get over the COVID season. But I want us to encourage a form of communion in spirit that opens our homes back up, where we begin to fellowship and we make people our center and not Hollywood, where our life and our time is shared among the saints and we're building one another up in fellowship and encouragement and we're seeing one another often and we're worshiping together and we're stimulating one another and we're encouraging one another. And I think we'll find that it's far richer than just sitting by ourselves at home. I think we'll find it's better. And it will bring in a new dynamic. And we will become stronger in spirit than we are. I think we're just, in general, as a people, we're weak in spirit. And we need to grow and become stronger. Okay? As we experience this wonderful grace in Jesus, and part of the time in prayer is a longing. It will produce a longing to become like Jesus Christ. And here's what Jesus said, that the Holy Spirit will take from what is His and declare it unto us. And in that's how His strength is made perfect in our weakness. I'm still seeking that because as a pastor, I have become more aware that at times my tone is too aggressive, it's too direct, it lacks the meekness and lowliness of Christ. Not that we can't be passionate, but I have sensed at times that my preaching is like, I want you to see it right now. So it'd be like shining the flashlight right in your eyes. See? 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 You know? It's not the best way to get someone to see something. I kind of get that reaction sometimes, you know? One of the times that the Lord, this is something, this is how the Holy Spirit, you're not going to read this in the Bible. Here's just an example of the Lord teaching you how. I felt like, you know, when Dina cooks, and at times she cooks, and I would be cleaning up as I cook. But Dina cooks and then cleans. You know, that's just people do things differently. And at times in our marriage, I would let that bother me. You know, depending on just how I was doing. And so as I begin to just spend time with Christ, and I begin to see that, you know what? Why don't I just pray and come alongside and help? And then the Lord showed me something about those times that I would try to point something out to her like that. Here, I want you to see something. Can you see that right there? The flashlight right in her eyes. And the Lord showed me how does the Lord give light? If you want to pray for someone to give light, how does the Lord give light? Doesn't it come up gradual? The earth turns towards the sun, and it's just a gradual light in the morning, isn't it? And it just gets... Isn't that what the Bible says? That the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day? I saw something. I wasn't patient. I should just pray and wait and trust for light to come. God will move heaven and earth and bring about this understanding. And you know what it did? It produced peace in them. And peace in us. And because I wasn't pushing a matter. You don't read that in Scripture. That takes the Holy Spirit walking alongside you, guiding you into relationships. We know we're supposed to be at peace, but we need the Holy Spirit to help us show how, to guide us into the way. That's just something in my own life. And, you know, when this happens, as we become strong in spirit, what happens is your inner man is going to become fortified, just strengthened, stronger and stronger. And the stronger your inner man is, the more stable your Christian life becomes. You're just not going to be swayed by temptation as much. Because you are in the spirit, things are going to seem easier to you that you failed at earlier. Things that you're wrestling with now. And I want to encourage you. I've been in the Lord long enough to know this. Some of you, if you're just not far along in the Lord yet, you wonder probably whether you're brave enough to ask anybody out loud. You might wonder, is it always going to be this hard? You might wonder that sometimes. Let me tell you, no, it will not. You grow in the Lord. You become strong in the Lord. And the things that seem hard to you now will become easier and easier as you gain an experience. And you will find that Jesus does bring us into the rest that He promised.
Amen.
We do find rest for our souls.
Amen.
You know, we receive His help. What I think that we may be lacking the full experience of that because we've been distracted. Some of our members are still attached to the earth, and our minds have not fully been set on things above.
Yes.
We've just not been all there. And so the part that of us that is there, we benefit from. I believe the concentration and the focus can be even greater.
Amen.
Even greater. And that's what I want us to guide us to. I want us to go there together. I don't want to, I want us, that's what a pastor is supposed to do. Let's grow.
Amen.
Let's experience more of Christ.
Amen.
Let's walk in His Spirit. You know, let's do that. I think we can do that together. Okay?